And again, good morning. I am so glad to be part of this praise team of talented musicians who have led the service and filled in, and now I get to do my part and sit down. When Pastor Paul called me on Tuesday morning, he said, "Jack, I'm positive I want you to preach on Sunday." It was kind of a mixed message, you know. I think there was a comma in there, "I'm positive." So he had been so careful on Sunday to wear the mask, and, you know, and I think he was the only one wearing a mask on last Sunday morning. But those darn germs, virus germs, have a way of finding you. So anyway, he is doing better and is learning that Paxlovid is your friend. Yes, along with all the shots and boosters and things. I'm Jack Alwood. If you came expecting another one of the pastors here, I'm a guest pastor, retired minister in the Tampa Bay Presbytery. Been retired since 2017, so I've almost forgotten how to do this. So I had to resurrect some good thoughts and put them in the blender and find some new stories to go with them, and bear with me, if you will. Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter, the story of the prodigal son. Let us listen to God's holy word. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So the father divided his property between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, and here I am dying of hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father, and while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, and he ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son began his rehearsed speech, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father interrupts and says to him, 'Quickly,' says to his slaves, 'quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found.' And they began to celebrate." May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to thee, our rock and our redeemer. Today's scripture reading is about a parable that maybe we've heard a million times before. It's only found in Luke's gospel. You remember it, the generous father, the spendthrift son who asks for his half and then goes and squanders it. And then there's that elder brother who's been staying home, working hard with the family business, feeling unappreciated and resentful. Jesus told this story in response to criticism by the scribes and Pharisees over his table fellowship with the wrong kind of people. As they listened to the master tell this story, the sinners no doubt identified with that younger brother who had lost and wasted it all and was hitting bottom. The religious leaders identified with the responsible elder brother. Which brother did the father like best? Is he talking about me? There was an article in the December 2021 Tampa Bay Times just two or three years ago reported that Lane Bess choked up as he described watching a sunset from his Miami Beach home. It's not that the 60-year-old tech entrepreneur was unfamiliar with sunsets. He had lived in Florida for much of his adult life. The difference is now he had seen the sunset from 6 miles up. He had spent a brief 11 minutes aboard the Blue Origin spacecraft. He had been weightless and was able to gaze out the porthole window at his home planet. And even though he was just in suborbital space for a few minutes, Bess described the experience as life-changing. You think about the pandemic that we were experiencing at the time, the unrest that goes on below, the underprivileged people who are starving, and then you just look at that beautiful planet below and think to yourself, there's enough here for everyone to be okay. I have a much different feeling now. I'm a different person. If you could only see what I saw in those few minutes, you too might see a whole new world. I remember one day long ago, I woke up and looked out the window, and to my surprise, I too saw a whole new world. I was like Dorothy when she regained her consciousness after that tornado lifted the house up and brought it down on somebody's head, that this isn't Kansas anymore. It was like I had landed on a new planet. But nobody there seemed to acknowledge it. I wandered the streets. I stumbled along. I had to learn how to walk and talk all over again, like I was getting a second chance of living. Some well-meaning friends came up to me and advised me to get real, face the facts. But they just wanted to lasso me back into that old way of living. The one I had left behind. I had moved on. I had taken up residence in a new reality. I was being made right with God. It took a while to believe that God, whom I could never reach on my own, had reached out to me. That the supreme judge, whom I could never measure up to, had judged me righteous, forgiven. Or that the one that I had fled so many times had raced towards me with arms open, embracing me, welcoming me back home. I think each Sunday when we gather in worship, we come and we seek to have our vision corrected so we can see more clearly the Christian life. Some Sundays the clouds part and we can see more clearly, and a sunburst epiphany shines its light on our new horizon. We climb the mountain to get to see the new world on the other side. And once we have seen this vision of what God has in store for us, we cannot be satisfied with the pods and corn cobs and husks that far country has before us. Nor will the self-satisfaction that we worked hard and achieved all that we deserve. The Apostle Paul says it best. If anyone is in Christ, this is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. In Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself. There is room in this new world for the younger prodigal who hit bottom and yearned for the day when he could get back in the good graces of his father. There is room in this new world for the elder prodigal who has never left home, who's always been hardworking and faithful, but now resents his father's generosity to that younger brother of his. There he stands with his arms crossed, still sweaty after a hard day at the family business. He's on the edge of going into the party, but he's just not there yet. Which brother do you identify with best? Which one does God love more? One or both? The parable is really about the father, isn't it? In the end, both children have to deal with that loving father. On the one hand, he gives both sons what they need. He lets the younger son come back to the family and start over. He gives that older brother, that older son, what he needs: reassurance. You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. On the other hand, the father does not give the younger son everything that he wants. He does not make him one of his hired servants. He is restored as a son, complete with robe and ring and sandal. The elder brother doesn't get exactly what he wants. He doesn't get that party exclusively for him and his friends. He gets everything, but that includes that brother. This is a story that needs an ending. We're left wondering if that younger brother will ever learn his lesson and settle down to live responsibly. We're left hanging. Will that older brother overcome his anger and resentment? Join the feast. Come into the party. Slap his brother on the back. Will this family live happily ever after? Jesus doesn't end the story, because this is a story that we get to finish ourselves. As we prepare to come to the table of our Lord today, let us remember our Heavenly Father who loves us so much that he sent his only Son to love us all, to save us, to die in our place. We don't take this life journey alone. The Almighty invites us and awaits us and has plans for us, and he blesses us. Let us come to the feast. Let us come to his table. Let us pray. Amazing God, help us to find our place in your parables, in your stories. Lead us in the way everlasting. In your name we pray. Amen. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. People shall come from east and west and from north and south and sit at one table in our Father's kingdom. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites all who put their trust in him to feed upon his body and his blood. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place, as this bread is Christ's body for us. Send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Amen. On the night in which our Savior was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he lifted it up and broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And in the same way, he took the cup when he had supped and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. All of you, drink of it, remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you remember the Lord's death until he comes." We now invite you to come forward in two lines in the center aisle, and we will take the communion by intinction, and the elders will hold the bread and the cup and give it out to you, and then return to your seats in the back way.